Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim, you know, it seems like there's so many different dimensions that we've been following here. But one of the ones that pretty much came up right away, and it's interesting that Congress is getting involved in this right away, is what in the world is going on with Pakistan and the fact that we found bin Laden pretty much hiding in plain sight about a half an hour's drive away from the capital of Islamabad, very near a military academy. You've got some in Congress from the liberal Frank Lautenberg to the very conservative Alan West saying, cut off the aid now. We've seen enough. Others are like Texas Congressman Ted Poe, who wants some serious answers before cutting off the aid, but he's willing to do so. Here's what he said to Neil Cavuto on Tuesday.
It's inconceivable that Pakistan authorities did not know that Osama bin Laden was living in this big mansion of a compound just a few yards away from a military base for so many months, maybe even years. Either their intelligence service is incompetent or they knew about it and they just didn't tell us.
I like the Poe approach here, Jim, as opposed to those who say we should just cut it off, because it is a thorny issue. We have to fly over Pakistan. We don't want to completely end this relationship if at all possible. Also, if they go completely to the dark side, they've got nukes, and that's not a good thing. But we also can't let the status quo keep going here, because this situation, among many others over the past decade, have proven that they are playing both sides, and giving them billions of dollars to play both sides is completely unacceptable.
You know, Greg, somewhere in the last couple of days, I had seen a comment from somebody who dealt with Pakistan a great deal, and he said, the thing to remember is that there really are two Pakistans. The civilized Pakistan that helps us out, and we could say, you know, and we call it the evil Pakistan or the dark side of Pakistan, but the Pakistan that is, you know, certainly some members of the ISI, the folks who set up the Taliban, the folks who are pretty clearly in opposition to us on the war on terror. And he said, the secret is you never know which one you're dealing with. You never know, you know, which government official is feeling which loyalty to which side at any given moment. And as a result, this makes dealing with them extraordinarily complicated. I think you're seeing the end of American patience for this game. It's kind of fascinating. I think one of the reactions I think is fairly telling is when Pervez Musharraf's first reaction, he was quick to take to the airwaves to object to the violation of Pakistani sovereignty. Yeah, that's the time to stand up for your sovereignty. We're out chasing the world's most wanted terrorist. You know what? It's a good thing we're not in the Garrity administration at this moment, because I think there would have been a four-word response from the administration, and would have been the first two. And up would have been the last one, and everyone can fill in the blank there. To Musharraf. Also worth noting that while all of this was going on, as we said, it's a small miracle that nobody at that military academy responded. I mean, it's worth trying to get your head around this. Is try to imagine Eric Rudolph or Timothy McVeigh or the Unabomber or somebody hiding in a large house in West Point or Annapolis or Colorado Springs for several years and nobody in the town getting any level of suspicion or anything like that. It just doesn't, you know, pass the smell test. So the idea that, you know, we now have to really look at Pakistan in a completely different light. I'm glad to see a much tougher line being taken. I think we're starting to realize that maybe they are a de facto enemy, that if they are willing to interfere with all of this, then or willing to look the other way or not tell us where bin Laden is, that's a cardinal sin in the American mind. And also, you know, worth noting that they apparently scrambled jets when towards the tail end of this operation. And I remember thinking, well, maybe they didn't know who was doing this. They saw helicopters coming across the border. And then I realized, Greg, who else would send four helicopters full of heavily armed guys across the border over from Afghanistan towards a big house that is suspiciously guarded but has no phone lines in that neighborhood? Who else would be doing that besides the United States of America? They think India was doing a long end around or something like that. They kind of had to know what the heck was going on. It's a good thing they didn't, you know, try to obstruct this operation. But all of their behavior is deeply troubling. And I think we have to kind of go back to square one and say, you know what? Why are we allies with these people? What have they done to warrant that? What have they given us? And this is one of those things where I realize a lot of the cooperation is classified, but I think the American people deserve answers, because right now we're mad as heck at these guys. And if we have good reason for not treating him as an enemy, I think we need to see it fairly soon.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to watch this. Over time, they obviously give us flyover rights. That's important since Afghanistan is landlocked. Over time, I don't know that it's happened real recently, but they've helped us wrap up folks like KSM and Abu Zubaydah. So they're, like you said, there's the good side and the bad side, and the good side has come through from time to time on some important things, but the bad side has got to be dealt with. On to sensitivity gate now, and I guess yesterday's Good Martini was just a wee bit premature, since we believe that the White House had green-lighted the release of at least one of the photos of a dead bin Laden at some point soon. Those reports were quickly shot down by the White House, not to say that they're not going to, but they're, Jim, carefully evaluating this. Don't want to offend people who might be, overly motivated to then lash out against us if they see pictures of a dead bin Laden. And, you know, yesterday you made the very good point of, you know what not releasing it does? It offends us. And so 9/11 offends us. And we do need this. But to watch the administration kind of walk this back when it looked like they were right on the brink of doing this, you've got John Brennan, the terrorism director. You've got Hillary Clinton and Bob Gates now saying, don't do it. It seems like Leon Panetta's the only voice in the room who's willing to keep pushing for this. And it sounds like he might not have as much oomph for that fight left much either.
Yeah, Craig, I'm trying to get my head around this, because you think about the way this has gone in the last couple of days in the White House is that a couple of days ago, or maybe a week ago, or at some point, they went to him and said, Mr. President, we have an exceptionally risky mission. We think bin Laden is in there, but we can't be certain. We can't go in with a lot of troops. There's always a chance something will go wrong with the helicopters. It's right next to the military academy. Our troops could end up shooting it out with Pakistani military forces, and who knows where that leads. Osama bin Laden could escape. A million and one things could go wrong, but there's a chance we could get bin Laden. Is this a risk worth taking? And Obama looked them back and said, yes. And now they say, all right, Mr. President, do we release the photos? Whoa, 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 I need time to think about this. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Come on, that's a tough decision. I gotta think about this. I'm particularly persnickety about this because I just praised Obama for his decisiveness. I just said something nice about the guy, and now he's going back to doing the Hamlet routine, to be or not to be, contemplating all of this. And we saw a few weeks ago an uprising in Afghanistan over the Pastor Pyro in Florida deciding to burn the Koran.
Right.
Now, if you're willing to kill people over something you saw on the internet, and it's not like those silly cat videos or something, then you're just really way too easily, you know, drawn into a murderous rage. If bin Laden being killed wasn't enough, but the photo will do it, I just don't think that we can be guiding our policy based on the hair trigger tempers of people who just seem to be inclined to explode in murderous rage at the drop of a hat.
Yes.
And beyond, so I this is Obama managing to bobble one of probably the greatest event of his presidency. And perhaps we really shouldn't be surprised that sooner or later those old instincts would kick back in.
One of the things we've seen, and perhaps this is true, that the narrative seems to adjust itself a little bit each day, is that he did take about 16 hours to decide whether or not to pull the trigger on this. But even if that's true, he still has debated longer on the photos than he did on actually going forward with what was a very risky mission, and one that we obviously praised a great deal over the past few days, and rightly so.
One point about the 16 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And my understanding is at no point before the raid did anyone see bin Laden in there. I mean, you know, he was inside the whole time. I assume we had that building under surveillance. So if we suddenly saw a car speeding away from it, I'd like to think that the, you know, whether it's the satellites or the National Reconnaissance Office or somebody would be able to follow them so that bin Laden wouldn't get away. So in other words, during that 16 hours, it's not like Obama – I'm sorry. There I go again. Media Matters for America can begin their next campaign of outrage against me. If Osama had left that compound, we would have known about it. At least that's my understanding of it. So I don't begrudge him that. As I said, this was a risky operation. It could have gone very, very south really fast. It did not, thank God, and Obama gets to reap the political benefits of that. But, you know, standing around and looking indecisive about photo releases afterwards is like a pretty effective way to squander that great feeling you just built up.
Absolutely right. And the big words, of course, during the operation, we know that the special forces there, the Navy SEAL, said, we've ID'd Geronimo, and later Geronimo is dead. And that, of course, was the code name for bin Laden. And now the Onondaga Nation Territory, leaders of that organization, say that it's reprehensible that the name of the great famed Indian warrior Geronimo to be used as a pseudonym for bin Laden is outrageous, which I would agree is true. But, you know, there's code names for everything that we do in terms of military action. So I'm not sure why that in particular was chosen. I'm sure it's not because they thought that Geronimo is anything like bin Laden or vice versa. But to get completely bent out of shape, I think, is a little bit much.
You know, if they had used the code word rutabaga, as in rutabaga has been found and rutabaga is dead, you know the National Association of Rutabaga Growers would be furious about this. They'd be offended. They'd say, what did rutabagas ever do to be the code name for the world's most wanted terrorist? Rutabagas have not killed 3,000 Americans. It's a, you know, you can understand it. So there's a part of me that feels for Native Americans who are looking at this code name saying, really? You had to pick that one? There, you know. But there would have been no word that would have offended it other than, you know, evildoer, fish food, you know, knowing their ultimate plans they had for him. I don't know what code name would have worked. But I guess I can sympathize with this these Native Americans who kind of feel like, you know, oh, great name choice. You couldn't have, you know, gone to the dictionary and found something else.
Interesting how some folks see the trees rather than the forest. But I guess if that's near and dear to your heart, that could be a slightly offensive. So very interesting that that's one of the headlines today. Jim, we'll see what happens on the big photo question. Maybe we'll have an answer tomorrow. See you then.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.